Okay, so we discussed last week the beginning of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. The Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle were a body of 120 scholars. Nevi'im, led of course by Ezra, amongst them were Nevi'im, Chachomim, Zkenim, Kahanim. It was a whole body of people after the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael from Ezra, in the middle of the time of the Persian Empire. Now the Rambam says Hakdomim to Yad HaChazokin, number one on the sheets. Just reviewed again. Beis Dino Shel Ezra Heim Anikoyim Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. These are the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, the people of the Great Assembly. Veheim Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. These were the Nevi'im, Daniel, all known from Persia. The Purim story of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah ben Chachlioi, which was Nehemiah, of course, Mordechai Balshin, Zerubbabel, who made the Aliyah back to Eretz Yisrael, v'habe chachomim moim tashlum mer ve'esrim zkenim, for a total of 120 elders. Ha'achim mehem hu Shimon HaTzadik v'hu hayo michlal mer ve'esrim. And the youngest amongst them, the smallest, the youngest amongst them, was Shimon HaTzadik. He was part of the 120. Now, of course, we mentioned last week that the term Knesset, the body of 120 wise men who make up the legislative body in Eretz Yisrael today, in Israel today, took the name from the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. They wanted somewhat mimic. Mati, why are you laughing? But they wanted to somewhat mimic, because that was really, because you have to understand, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle weren't just the Beis Din, it was also the legislative, the executive, judicial, it was everything rolled into once. They were the manhigim, they were the leaders of the Jewish people. We saw in our previous classes, we explained that how Ezra and Nehemiah really laid the groundwork so that the Sanhedrin should be in charge. I mean, Nehemiah comes with an edict from the Persian king saying that he's in charge and he can levy taxes. It gives him all the power, and therefore his entire Beis Din, the entire Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, has all the power. Take two sheets. Has all the power to enact everything, and therefore they were called the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, the men of the Great Assembly. By the way, this name was given to them at a much later stage. They did not call themselves Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, and that's, by the way, the reason why we don't find in any literature, none of our Sifrei Nevi'im or Sifrei Ksuvim, we find anything about Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, because all our literature we have is up until that time. Yeah, we find it in Avos, where the Avos says, Ve'im u'mesavah li'Yeshua, v'Yeshua l'Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. So therefore, there was such a body, but it's not going to be brought down in the literature of the Tanakh, of course, because they were after the sealing of the Tanakh. I saw something quite interesting. One second. That where did it get to the number of 120? I didn't see this anywhere, but I saw this brought down. Where did it get to the number of 120? The Persians, when they gave autonomy to regions under their control, so they let them have a body, or they chose a body of 120 elders, you know, like they have today in Afghanistan, Havdil, where they have, you know, the tribal elders, and they have this big group of people, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. So the Persian custom was that any places where they granted autonomy, they elected a body of 120 people, and therefore we only find Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle for the time of the Persian Empire. Once Alexander comes in and the Greeks come in, it didn't exist anymore. The whole assembly was disbodied, because there was only a Persian thing. That's where the number 120 came from. I don't see any reason why not to believe that. Could very well be. Yes, Stewie, what was your question? 120. I think that's where it came from.
Who's Mordechai Balshin?
Is Mordechai. What was his name, I suppose? Okay. The first thing, of course, that they did, we mentioned last week briefly, we're going to go through it a little bit more in depth tonight, is that they canonized the Tanakh. What does it mean they canonized the Tanakh? They sealed all 24 books of the Tanakh, and they said whatever we decide goes into the Sifrei Kodesh. 24 books, Sifrei Kodesh, is included in Tanakh, anything else not included. Based on what did they decide it? So if you look in the Gemara, it's a Gemara that says that they basically decided it whatever was Beruach HaKodesh, whatever was written with Ruach HaKodesh was included in the Tanakh. Not even everything. Look at number one, the second paragraph. Ketanya have Nevi'im on them. There were many Nevi'im, many prophets the Jewish people had. Kiflaim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim, 1.2 million prophets. Ela Nevuah Shutzich Ledoreh is Nichtavah, Vishlehu Tzichah Loi Nichtavah. Only Nevuah, prophecy which is relevant for posterity. And therefore, they had to choose only from the prophecies which are relevant to posterity, and of course, only something which was in Nebuah. Something which was in Nebuah, they never even included it. If you look look in 3b, the last line of 3b. We're going to get back to 3b in a minute, but 3b, so there's a whole question. The halacha is a sefer kodesh is metame es hayudayim. You're not supposed to touch a sefer Torah with your bare hands, right? We still have that halacha. It's metame es hayudayim. You're not supposed to touch the parchment. That's where people always hold the talis or something else. Because in ikadin, a sefer Torah, any of the chav dalet svarim, the 24 books of Tanakh, is metame es hayudayim. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Asi Omer, Keheles einoi metame es hayudayim. Keheles, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, is not one of the 24 books of Tanakh. It's not Metame Shadayim. Why? Mipnei Shechachmosai Shal Shleimahi. Because it might be brilliant, but it's not Ruach HaKadosh. It's only the wisdom of Shleim HaMelech. So we clearly see what constitutes something which is Metame Shadayim, what constitutes something which is Tanakh, 24 Sifrei Kadosh, only something which is Nebuah, and not Chachmah. What? We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. But the halach is correct. In other words, they have to decide on every sefer of Tanakh, was this written Beruach HaKodesh, or was it human genius from Shlomo HaMelech? They had a question on Keheles. Keheles, they weren't sure. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, he said, no, Keheles is not part of Tanakh, because it might be excellent, but it's not Ruach HaKodesh. It's only Chachmas HaShem Shlomo. So we see that the make it or break it, whether something was included in Tanakh, was first there had to be Beruach HaKodesh. Which makes a lot of sense also, because like we said last time, that Nevuah basically ended once they came up. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were the last of the Nevi'im. And therefore, they had to clearly demarcate, and they had to clearly say, okay, whatever's up until this point, we can include from this point on, since there's no more Nevuah, so people can make it up. If we're going to allow everything to be part of our literature, then everything will be part of the Tanakh. You can't do that. And therefore, up until this point was Nevuah, that we'll accept. Everything past this point is no more Nevuah, because Nevuah finished. Therefore, we cannot include that in Tanakh, and therefore, the maids when it only included something in Tanakh, which number one, it was Nichtav Hutzach HaLadoyles for posterity, and number two, it had to be Nebuah.
What prompted them to come to that realization? They had to canonize it at that time.
Well, because we just said, because since Nebuah ended, so imagine they would not canonize it, correct? Then anybody who has something writes a good book, say, oh, put my book in also. And then it never ends. What's a safer Kodesh and what's not?
If someone of that caliber come along and put in his chokmah, and something like that is the shash that should be included.
No.
Maybe there are other things that should
No, the Gemara says the reason why it should not be included is because it's chokmah. That's right. So clearly anything which might be the best chokmah, what's a sefer kodesh? Sefer kodesh is only something which is all our sefer kodesh is only something which from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Nebuah. Not even Ruach HaKadosh, just Nebuah. Or at least, you know, maybe Ruach HaKadosh, but definitely not chokmah. And therefore, they had to. That's precisely why at this point they had to seal the Tanakh. Okay. Not only they actually decided which svarim go into the Tanakh and have all the various halachas of Tanakh and all the halachas, you know, having Megillah and the Klaf and all the things at different levels between Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but it's all Sefer Kodesh. Look at number two in the Sheet Tanakh Rabbanon, Sidron Shel Nevi'im. Not only they decided which ones, but they also decided the order. You know, we never actually. We have over here scholars and Talmid Chachamim, people that know most of Tanakh, right? Read it, Keheles and Shai and all these things. But you ever thought about the order? The order is not really in place. Look in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanakh Rabbanon, Sidron Shel Nevi'im. What is the order of Nevi'im? Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yishai, Shneimasa. That is the way the order of the Tanakh is. If you put it all into one scroll, that's the order. Any Tanakh that you open up, he sees in that order. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Michdi, Yeshaya kodim Yirmiyah v'cheskel. Yeshaya preceded Yirmiyah and Yecheskel, right? Yirmiyah was in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Yecheskel was in Babel. In other words, Yecheskel was way afterwards. So why is Yeshaya after Yirmiyah and Yecheskel? Likadmei le'Yeshaya b'resha. Put Yeshaya before Yirmiyah and Yecheskel. After all, Yeshaya happened first chronologically. So you must say like this. Kiven the Melachim Sofer Churbana, since the end of Melachim, all talks about the Churban, the end of Melachim Beis, and like we said last week, Aleph and Beis, and Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis was added by the Christians in the 1300s, in the 1500s, when they had the printing press. But since the end of Melachim, it talks about Churban, V'yirmiyo, Kulei Chubana, and Yirmiyah, Sefer Yirmiyah is all about the Churban, Uyecheskel, and Sefer Yecheskel, Reisha Churban, the beginning talks about Churban, Sefer Nechemta, and the end talks about Bayis Shlishi, which is Nechama, Uyeshaya Kulei Nechemta, and Yeshaya is all about, right, the Psukim of Yeshaya, of Yeshaya, all about Nechama. That's why the Shiva, the Nechemta, the 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, all we read is from Sefer Yeshaya, because it's Kulei Nechemta. So they made it in that order. They Taka should have put Yeshaya before Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel, because chronologically it belonged beforehand. But in order to have it a flow, Churban and then Nechama and then Nechama, so therefore they put Yeshaya at the end. So they also decided, Anshik Nezagdele, not just canonize the Tanakh, decided which goes into which order. Then he continues, Sizon Shaksuvim, which are the part of the books of Ksuvim, Sarus, Sefer Tehillim, Iyarid Mishle, Keheles, Shir HaShirim, so Keheles clearly part of it, Kinnis, which is Eicha, Daniel, Megillus Esther, Ezra Nehemiah is considered one book, and Divrei Yomim, Aleph and Beis is considered one book. And that's a total of 24 books, including the 5 books of the Torah, which is a total of 24. So look what the Gemara says now. Yirmiyahu Kasav Sifrei, V'Sefer Melachim V'Kinnis. Who wrote everything? So Yirmiyahu wrote his book, obviously Sefer Yirmiyahu. Melachim he wrote, the end of Melachim, the whole Sefer Melachim he wrote, because it all ends up with the Churban, so he wrote Sefer Melachim. It could be they had it already written down in various manuscripts, but he edited it, so he wrote it over. That's Yirmiyahu Novi. The Kinnos and Eich, of course, he wrote as well. Chizki v'siyatoi kosvu, Yeshaya, Mishle, Shir HaShirim v'Keheles. So Shir HaShirim, Keheles, Mishle, and Yeshaya were written by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Again, we know that Shir HaShirim v'Keheles written by Shlomo HaMelech. But they edited it. They put the final version to it. They wrote it down. And maybe it was in different manuscripts. They wrote it down. They were the final editors of these Svarim of Tanakh. Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, Kosvu, Yecheskel Shnei Moso, Daniel and Megillas Esther. Yecheskel, Shnei Mos, Treyoso, Daniel and Megillas Esther were only written by Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. It doesn't mean it didn't exist beforehand. We see Yirmiyahu Novi even quotes from Micha. In other words, Micha happened beforehand, Treyoso were beforehand, but again, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle wrote it over, they edited it, they did the final version based on the Ksavim that they had, and they actually wrote it over. We're going to soon see that not only that, but they had to write it over in order to make it into the Sifrei Kodesh. And Ezra, Kosav Sifrei, V'yachash HaDivrei Yomim Ad Lamed Vav. And Ezra wrote, of course, Sefer Ezra, and he wrote Divrei Yomim until Perek Lamed Vav. After that point, he dies, and then Nehemiah writes the end of Divrei Yomim. Now, look what Rashi says in 2a. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle have to write Yecheskel? I mean, Yecheskel was right before the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, so there wasn't such a time difference between Yecheskel and the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. Why did they have to rewrite it? If Yecheskel wrote it down, why did they have to rewrite it? So look in Rashi number 2a. Shenis Nabe Begoyle. Yecheskel had a nevuah in the Golah, meaning in Persia. Ve'ein on Babel, Persia. Why can Yecheskel write it himself? Memela the other ones, so Shlomo HaMelech wrote, and that was hundreds of years earlier until they actually canonized it, had to rewrite it, and maybe re-edit it, whatever it was. But Yecheskel was a mere, 100 years before, 50 years before, Yecheskel himself wrote it. Says Rashi, because since he was in Chutz Loretz, Nevuah, prophecy, cannot be written in Chutz Loretz, he might have written it down, or maybe it was known to everybody what exactly the words were, but they had to rewrite it in order to give it a shame, in order to give it a name of Kisrei Kodesh. Kisrei Kodesh can only be something, Nevuah, which is written in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in order to give it a shame, Kisrei Kodesh, they had to rewrite it. Says Rashi, V'chein Sefer Daniel, Shahoyah Begoyla, Daniel as well, V'chein Megillas Esther, Ushneim also, and also Megillas Esther. That's why Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle had to rewrite Megillas Esther. Utreyoso, Mitrach Shein, V'usein Ketanois, Leikosu Manavim Asumam, Ish Ish Sifroi. No, they knew it, or maybe they said it over, or they knew it by heart, perhaps, or they wrote it on different manuscripts, but it didn't actually write it down as a final version. Vo Chagai Eschayim Malachi, which were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle, V'roshu Rachkesh Meslekes, Shal Yehen Nevi'im Achoinim, they saw there was no Nevuah, V'omdu V'kosu Nevuah Seyem, they wrote down their Nevuah, Chagai Eschayim Malachi, which is part of Treyoso, V'tzilfu Nevuah Esketanas Imam, V'asum Sefer Gadol, Shal Yehudu Machus Ketanam. Since many of these Treyoso only have one or two chapters, or three chapters, so therefore they put all these small Nevuahs together, which were Nitzchach L'Doris, which is necessary for posterity, put them all together, and that's where they got Treyosor, and that's why they wrote them. Now, Megillas Esther is very fascinating. It was a whole discussion between Esther and the Chachamim that it should even be considered a Nevuah L'Darius. It should even be included, canonized in the Tanakh. The Gemara says in Megillah number 3, Omer Rav Shmuel Bayuda, Sholcho Lehem Le'Esther L'Chachamim. So Esther sent to the Chachamim. Again, don't forget, who she sent to? Mordechai. Mordechai was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So she turned to them and she says, Kavuni L'Darius, write me down for posterity. In other words, I want to be included. Sefer Esther should be included. Megillas Esther should be included in Tanakh. Sholcho Lo, so they told her, we're going to write down your book for posterity. There'll be jealousy. Why? Because you'll say, look, a Jewish person took over the entire Persian Empire. It's just going to cause anti-Semitism. Let's lie low. We don't want to write down Esther L'Darius. It's not worth it. After all, in the books, the chronicles of Malchim, right, the last pasuk in Megillas Esther, Halayim Ksuvim LeSefer Malchim Modei Paras. We have three balakri over here. They're already written in the Sefer Malchim Modei Paras. Therefore, I'm not saying anything new. If I'm not saying anything new, so therefore, you can include me L'Darius. Now, let's just finish the Gemara, and then the Gemara says like this: Shochlam LeEsther Chachamim Keshun L'Darius. The same thing. Shochlo Halakisatiloch Shlishim. Shlishim v'leribeim. The pasuk says in Mishlei that you can only mention three times Haman, and they explain it to mean that Haman, to wipe out Haman, can only be mentioned three times: once in Bshalach, once in Kiseitze, and once in Sefer Shmuel, where Shmuel Anovi instructs Shaul to with Agog to wipe out the entire Amalek. So only three times. Now we're going to include Esther, it'll be a fourth time in Tanakh that Amalek has to be wiped out. Can be. It says in the pasuk in the Torah. Write this down in the book. So four words. Is Torah, Bishalach, Kiseitze, Zikaron is Nevi'im, and Basefer is Megillah. Said, okay, we can include you in the Tanakh. What was the whole machlekes between Esther and the Chachamim? Yes to include her, not to include her. What was the whole machlekes? So, and by the way, interesting to note that not just the Gemara has a whole question that according to Shmuel Bayuda, Esther asked, include me in Sefer Tanakh. What was the whole question? So the Iyun Yaakov, which is the Shvus Yaakov, was the Tshuva Sefer, Baal the Shvus Yaakov, he says the following. He said like this. He says, Chachamim did not want to include Esther in the Tanakh. Why? Because at the time when they had to decide whether to canonize the Tanakh, how to canonize the Tanakh, whether to include Esther or not, so there was a whole issue. One of the issues they had was intermarriage. Remember we said when Ezra came back and many of the Jews married with the non-Jewish people and it was intermarriage. Now, the issue was, if you're going to put in Tanakh how Esther was taken by Achashverosh, right? So if you put that down in Tanakh, then the non-Jews of the time will say, yeah, it's not so bad. You see, they own their own Nevi'ah, their own prophetess, was with a guy together, with Achashverosh. He was, albeit she was taken by Achashverosh, but that doesn't prevent us. So the Jews shouldn't be riding so high and separate themselves from us. They were concerned that if they're going to write Tanakh, Esther, include that in Tanakh, he says, then it would not give a legitimacy, but it would be easier for the non-Jews at that time to feel that they can also encroach upon the Jewish people. And therefore, in order to prevent that, that was the reason why they didn't want to do it. And look in the way he explains it. 3a. Kina atomareos leinu bein umas oilom, hainu kolayma, sha'ali deikein, after writing Megillas Esther in the Tanakh, yikanu umas oilom banu, they will be jealous with us, from us. They'll say, okay, you see, the Jews are not so special. We can take their daughters for our wives, the non-Jews will say, just like Achashverosh did it. Because Esther, after all, was beloved by them, and she was one of theirs, so therefore they can take the Jewish girls as well. והשיבה אסתר, שהרי כבר כסוב אני למלכי מודעי ופרס, וממילא אין זה כנך הדושו, אם תגוונו לשם. He says, you're not being telling anything new. Everybody knows about it anyway. After all, look in the books, the chronicles of Malchei Modei Paras, and everybody knows that I was a queen by the non-Jewish people. I was taken by Achashverosh. And therefore, you putting me into Sefer Tanach is not going to make much of a difference. That was the Machlekes, one of the Pshatim, what the Machlekes was in the Gemara, whether Esther should be included in Tanach or not be included. At the end, we paskin that Esther is part of the 24 books of Tanach. Interesting, Shmuel himself holds in number 3b, Omer Rav Yudah Mishmuel, Esther Eina Metames Esayidai. Esther is not part of the 24 books of Nach. So the Gemara says, Lemeimre, the Sova Shmuel, Esther Lav Huach HaKadosh Omra. Again, we see that means that it's not a Nebuah. You want to tell me that if Shmuel holds Eina Metames Yedaim, that means it doesn't make the hands tummy, it's not part of the 24 books of Tanakh, that means there's no Ruach HaKadosh. V'omah Shmuel, Esther Ruach HaKadosh Nemro. So the Gemara answers, Nemro Likrois, V'loi Nemro Likosef. Which Rabbi Shkirov, Rabbi Avolos Soloveitchik explains, that there's two dinim in the 24 books of Tanakh. There's one halacha that it has to be written in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Megillas Esther. There's another halacha that even if you're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Megillas Esther, it doesn't mean it's part of the Tanakh. You can technically be Mekayim Nemro Likrois. Every year you have to read over the Purim story with the Megillas Esther, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's part of Tanakh. There's a separate halacha, whether it should be part of the 24 books of Tanakh, Matamis Adam or not. And that was the question between Esther and the Chachamim. At the end, Shmuel himself holds that even though it's Ruach HaKodesh, whatever is written in Esther, but it's not part of the 24 books of Tanakh, it's not Matamis Adam. Very interesting that in Qumran, that in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which they found from the sect of Qumran, which was the Qumran sect, the Essenes, the whole question of what they were, so they found every of the books of Tanakh, all of the 23 books of Tanakh, they found a copy of, written in various forms, even Ezra and Divrei Yomu written only one copy and part of it, but they were from all the 24 books of Tanakh, besides Esther. Esther was not written, they did not find a copy of in Qumran, which is fascinating. Perhaps they held like Shmuel. Maybe there was a group of people that held. We followed like Shmuel. In other words, Shmuel obviously came later. But there was a stream in amongst the Jewish people holding that, yes, that is Tanakh, and all the 23 books are. Esther is not, and that's why in Qumran it was never found. Yes. Thank you, Cheskel. Kehelis and Shir Shirim. The Gemara is all question. But that's what the Gemara says. That it was written over by Anshin Knesset Gedolah for that reason, Rashi says. Maybe that's what you... That's what it says. In other words, it was done in the Chutzos, and therefore, in it by itself, could not have been canonized unless...
Without Anshin Knesset Gedolah rewriting
it, Right. It wouldn't have the Kedusha of the 24 books of Tanakh. Daniel is also Megillah.
So why do we say Chamish Megillah?
Because that's what we read separately. We have a separate halacha to read it. But in effect, as a matter of fact, the Vilna Gaon paskens that all the 24 books of Tanakh, at least besides the Torah, but they all have to be written. I mean, we know that's a klaf. And when it's a klaf, it has to have a yad. Meaning, you know, you ever see the shuls that have a klaf? The Vilna Gaon paskens has to have a yad and eights. Like a Sefer Torah, not two, but one. And he holds Megillas Esther should also be that. Megillas Esther is no less than all the books of Tanakh. So, you know, it's also considered Megillah. Why we call this, colloquially, we call this Megillas Esther, and that we don't call Megillah? Because we probably read it, so therefore we take it out. It's a scroll, it's Megillah, but there's no real difference. They're all called, I mean, Rashi calls already Megillas Esther, you're right. But there's no halacha, there's no difference in the way Esther has to be written, or all the other 24 books, the other books of Nach besides the Chumash.
So Shmuel is saying that there's only 23 and according to
right.
What we all say.
Right.
The other question I have is were there other situations where people went to Anshin Knesset Gedolah or whatever it was and said, we want to be written into Nach also?
Well, we don't have anything recorded that he asked him questions, but we see the Anshin Knesset Gedolah excluded certain Svarim. Which was, people thought they might be considered Sefer Kodesh, and they exclude them. The next month, what? We're about to do that. Okay. Now, at the same time, we find about the 24 books of Nach, so then the Gemara says in number 4 in Sanhedrin, Ve'elu she'ein lehem chelik olam baba. These people who do these certain things don't have no chelik olam baba. The beginning of the 11th parak in Sanhedrin, perik chelik. Ha'oimer, one somebody says, ein tchias meisim in a Torah, ve'ein Torah min a Shemaim, v'apikoris. These people who say there's no tchias meisim, and there's no Torah min a Shemaim, and apikoris, all these people, ein lechelim olam baba. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Rabbi Kiva adds on, Ari, afakoire b'sforim achitzonim. Whoever reads foreign books, if you read foreign books, you read Harry Potter, ein lechelik olam baba. It's a pretty heavy statement. So what? One and any time. So the Gemara, well, what does it mean? The Gemara quantifies the statement. Number 4a, Rabbi Kiva Oimer afakoire b'sforim achitzonim. The Gemara says, Tana b'sifrei minim. You're going to read books of heretics, that's ein lechelik olam baba. Rabbi Yosef says, "B'sefer ben Sira nami asa lemikre." To read the book of Ben Sira is also so very terrible, forbidden. So, in other words, Ben Sira was a person who lived in that time. Who was Ben Sira? So, people don't know who Ben Sira was. Skip to number 4b. Ben Sira was a son of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Now, he was a son of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. He was born through artificial insemination. Now that's not it. Not just he was born through artificial insemination. Gemara says nisabra ba'ambatia. What? In the tub, exactly, in the bathtub. In other words, the zera of Yirmiyo was in the bathtub, and somebody went in the bath after him, and the zera went inside this woman, and she got impregnated. How exactly? I don't know. Medically, I don't know if that's possible, but that's what happened. What was that? Nick dancing. Oh. So listen what happened. But that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush in Maril says that not only he was a son of Yom Yoh, but he was a son, you know, from who? No. Maril says from his daughter. From his daughter. That's the big Chiddush. And based on that, Rav Moshe brings the whole tshuva to say that on efficient salvation, there's no B.S. Issa because it was a daughter. Look at number 4b. Omar, the Maril would say, the Ben Sid is a Maril. This is from the early, the Gedolim of Ashkenaz. Late Rishonim, Amar, the Ben Sira, who are noilad mizera Yimyo. Why? The Bas Yimyo, Hoyser or Chetzes Acher Avio Bambatio Chamin, the Yimyo's daughter would take a bath after her father in the same water, the Kolto Zera Avio, Vinis Abro Vyoldo. Fahakom Eden Aleo, Mirov Chasiduso, Shalazinso. Why did they call him Ben Sira? Because she became impregnated. She was a single girl. Everybody said, no, she was not Mazana, Chas v'Shalom. She was Yimyo's daughter. So they all said, Ach eskimu akol, shem bat yesherach tekotah. How did she get pregnant? It must be from the bathtub. That's the way they explained it. V'hoyil din noilad miklita zera b'loy tashmish, koroi ben zera. They called him the son of the seed. In other words, he was not Ben Sira, he was called Ben Zera. Uksi yigadol v'nis yadaloi, when this Ben Zera became older, so he found out the origin of his name, Ben Zera, he was embarrassed from his name. Then they called himself Ben Sira. The gematria of Ben Sira is Yimyo. And therefore, it was really from Yimyo's daughter to artificial insemination. But Moshe Feinstein brings a right from over here, then not only says artificial insemination is permitted, but even if the woman is an Ashes Ish, she's married to somebody, she may artificially inseminate herself from a different person, and the kid is not a mamza. Why? Because even if this woman is an Ashes Ish, and she takes Zera seed from somebody else, then it's not a mamza because there's no Bias Isser. Since it's B'loi Tashmish, it's considered without a Bias Isser, and it doesn't make the child into a mamzer. What's his raya? His raya is over here from Yimyo, because Ben Sira was not considered a mamzer. If Ben Sira would say that the fact that Yimyo's daughter was impregnated from her father, and that would make it would be considered like a maisa bia between the father and the daughter, clearly the child would be a mamzer. He wasn't a mamzer, and therefore he brings a raya that not only is permitted, but there's no problem of mamzers. Others disagreed. Honestly, the Chalkis Mechaikik actually brings it as a shaila. He says, Halacha says the Shuchnoch and Eben Ezer, Simon Aleph, if you have a child who is a mamzer, is that considered Mekayim Puruvu? And he brings a raya, Yesh Lodun, there's a question on Ben Sira, and he brings on shailas back and forth. In other words, that is the question over here for artificial insemination. Does it make it into a Bias Isser, or doesn't it make it into a Bias Isser? And the Raya Lechar would be from the Maharil. Yes, Ari. Doesn't make a difference. That doesn't make a difference. Mamzeris doesn't make a difference.
No, but I'm saying over here, the whole situation wasn't unintentional.
If it's a B.S. Yisr, it's a B.S. Yisr. If you hold it's not a B.S. Yisr, because it's a B'lai Tashmish, then it doesn't make difference. That's all the world is. So anyway, so Ben Sira was Yirmiyahu Navi's son. He was Yirmiyahu Navi's son. He wrote a fabulous book. He wrote a book full of Mishalim, similar to, say, from Mishlei, and all types of dictums and all types of sayings, how you have to keep the Torah and do the mitzvahs, and all wonderful things, like a real Sefer Musa. That was his book all about. And they wanted to, you know, there were people, I suppose, at that time, who said, the whole question when this was enacted, that you cannot read Sefer Ben Sira. But some say it happened at this time, in time Anshe Knesset Gadol, and said, let's include it as well. Said, no, no, you can't. If you read Sefer Ben Sira, ain't no chelek l'olam haba. That's a lot worse. And so much so, it's even worse than reading Homer. Look at number 4a in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Rabbi Kiva Omer, af ha-kor b'shvarim chitzonim, k'zayin Sifrei Ben Sira, v'Sifrei Ben Lano, these books are considered ain't no chelek l'olam haba. Aval Sifrei Hamiras, Hamiras is Homer, v'chol svarim shenichtivu mikam ve'elech, ha-kor b'en, if you read that, k'kor b'ikeres. So you're reading for leisure, you're reading a letter, my timer, v'yosef b'heimo b'ni hizor, you gotta be careful, l'higoyen nitnu l'higia l'ignu. Someday it only means that you can't study it. To really get allowed to read it, even Ben Sira, but you can't really study it. But it's kinda worse reading Ben Sira, because there you might think it is Tanakh, therefore they had to clearly demarcate and they had to clearly differentiate between Ben Sira and the Sifrei Tanakh. Homer, nobody thinks it's Tanakh, and therefore, alright, you shouldn't be reading it. Shtusim, but it's not. Ben Sira, according to this Gemara, is a lot worse because you might come and blur the lines between Sifrei Nevuah, 24 books of Tanakh, and everything else. I don't have the other Gemara, but actually the Gemara says, the Gemara number 4a. The Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, after Rabbi Kiva says that you can, the second line in number 4a, after Rabbi Kiva says that you cannot read Sefer Ben Sira, Amalei Abaye, why exactly can't you read it? He says, my timer, Ilei Mishum Dechziv Bey, is it because it says, Le Tintas Gildeno Mu'udnei, De Le Lezul Mishkevel Echavlei, you shouldn't skin a fish, a certain fish, even from its ears, because you're going to ruin it, you're going to destroy it, and you won't have to have any taste. But rather burn it in the fire of Echelbot, Taut, and Grisin, and you can eat two pitot with it. In other words, much better not to skin it in such a way, but rather you can save it and eat it a different way, and then you'll get much more usage out of it. If it means Pasha Pshat, Boy Reis and Amiksiv, Lo Tashchis as Eitza. You can't do Bal Tashchis. That's just telling me clear halacha. You cannot do Bal Tashchis. If it means Drush, it means something else, then that it's a hidden message in it, and Igmar explains what the hidden message is. You gotta do things the correct way. Don't do things the wrong way. Then that's also how the Torah says it. In other words, Abaya says, I went through Sefer Ben Sira, it seems to say, and I don't see, you know, what's the reason why you cannot read it. In other words, there's not so much wrong with it. They're saying good messages, telling you not to do Bal Tashchis, telling you to do things the correct way and the right way, and to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. There's nothing really wrong with it. And then Igmar shows some other things which are not correct with it. But most of Ben Sira, Sefer Ben Sira, was really nothing wrong with it. It all had Musa and Mamore Chazal and things which are similar in some way to Mishlei as well. Nevertheless, they asked it, supposedly, for this reason. Others say that the time when they asked Ben Sira was only hundreds of years later, in the time of the Apocrypha, in the time of the Christian Apocrypha, which was 400 years later when they made up all these books in between, and they wanted to include Ben Sira as well, and therefore they said, no, the new Christians, they want to include all these extra books. We cannot have anything to do with all these extra books. In other words, this story only happened years later. Others say, no, it happened on Anshe Knesset Gadolah. That's when they made this distinction, but the concept is basically the same. Not to blur the lines between Sifrei Kodesh and everything else, and that's why they gave such a strong ban on reading Svarim Achitzanim. Okay. Rabbi Akiva what? That's the question. The question is, if it happened in Rabbi Akiva's time, or it happened 400 years earlier, in Anshe Knesset Gadolah. When they asked Ben Sira, it's not clear. When they asked it. And we just have a Gemara, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, Ben Sira, of course, you also cannot read. If he's just saying, from what happened 400 years earlier in time, Anshe Knesset Gadolah, or it happened in his time, with the advent of the new Christians. Or the new, the, you know, different. Yes, so the different answers given. One means is that you can't study it. You can't study it. You can't. That's what it says. Lihigoya nitnu, lihigila nitnu. In other words, you can't harav on it like you harav on a Gemara or on a Mishlei. can know what's going on, you can know what it says, you can't study it like you study, it's not part of the Tanakh. That's really what it comes out to say. Okay. Let's do some more about the Anshei Knesset Gedola. So the first thing, of course, they did was they canonized the Tanakh. The next thing they did is that the Anshei Knesset Gedola were called Seferim. What do you mean Seferim? Counters. They counted, simply counted the words in the Tanakh. All the words that we have in Tanakh. Look at number 5a. Lefikach nikru rishonim seferim. These were Anshei Knesset Gedola who called seferim. Shal yeseferim kol ha'isiyah shebetorah. They literally counted all the letters in the Torah. Vav degachayim. Chetzin shal ha'isiyah shebetorah. You ever seen Sefer Vikra? Say by Vav degachayim, big Vav. That's halfway through, it always says in the Chumash. Chetzion shal sefer ba'isiyah. Dorash dorash chetzin shal tevis. That's halfway in words. Vizgalach shal psukim, halfway in the psukim. Now, that's all these things that we have in Achum Hashem are from the Anshei Knesset Gedola. They're the ones that Achum says. Oh, Chet always wonders, what's it doing over here? Tell me, I can figure out myself. You tell me over here where it is exactly halfway through. What's irrelevant? It has to be put into the Chumash? Yes, because Anshei Knesset Gedola put it into the Chumash. Why did they put it into the Chumash? Because they meticulously made sure that not a letter in the Chumash was extra, and not a word was superfluous. And therefore, how are you going to tell a person, well, don't forget, the Torah has 613,000-something words, and I can remember that. You tell them, this is the halfway mark, you'll make sure that anybody who copies a Sefer Torah copies it to the last letter, because you know that if you're going to start counting, and I'm sure people did count it, it would always be the halfway mark. So that's another thing, they had to verify and make sure that the Torah that they had, and that they wrote over, was the exact same ones that they always had, and therefore they were called the Seferim. Not only that, the Radak says, but the Kri Uksiv, you ever see, they have a Kri Uksiv, where did that come from? The Radak says, again, there was the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Why? Because when they went through the 24 books of Tanakh, and some places they found a manuscript like this, and some places they found a manuscript like this, they say, okay, you know what? This we're going to keep. Right? They decided which one is the real one, which one is Sufik. So they decided this we're going to keep inside the Tanakh, and this we're going to keep outside. This will be the Kri, and this will be the Ksiv. So they used both versions. That came from the Anshei Knesset Gedola. All the Kris and Ksivs that we have in the Torah and in the Tanakh is from the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Number 5b. V'chein Kri Uksiv nireh, ki begolus harishayin avdu hasvarim. In the first golus, all the books got lost. V'nitaltalu, and they got, you know, people moved from place to place. V'chachomim yoydei hamikro mesu. V'anshei Knesset Gedola shichziru ha-Torah l'yoshno. They're the ones who brought the Torah back to its old glory, matzu machlokes v'svarim hanimtzayim. They found the machlokes between the various editions, v'hochu b'machareiv, l'fi daitom, what they thought was the majority, what makes most sense. U'b'makam shleisigam daitom alabavu, so when they were able to pass on those arrived, they figured this is the correct way, fine. If it wasn't clear, kosvu echad, v'lai nokdoi, I kosvu mibachutz, v'lai kosvu mibnim. Either they wrote it Kriyoksiv, in other words, they wrote it without actually writing how to read it. So that's where we have either Kriyoksiv, you're not sure, you might read it one way and then write it another way. That's called a Kriyoksiv. You write it without the Nekudos and you don't know how to read it. You can read it one way and write it another way. Or Kosra Mibachut, or Kosra Mifnim, or Kosra Mibachut, or Kosra Mifnim. They wrote both, two different Gesois, and that's all these things that we have comes from the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Not only that, look at number 5c. The dots in Parshas Vayelech, Hanisarois, Lashem Elokeinu Vaniglois, Lonu Levenenu Adelom, right? With all these dots on Hanisarois, Lashem Elokeinu, that also comes from the Anshei Knesset Gedola, believe it or not. Not just some, it's in the Torah, the dots. Where does it come from? Anshei Knesset Gedola, look in 5c, Hanisarois, Lashem Elokeinu Vaniglois, Lonu Levenenu Adelom, Loma Nokud al Lonu Levenenu, Val Ayin, Shem. Sheba'ad, in other words, ad oilam. Why lanu levanenu ad on the ayin other dots? Amalem asitem gluyim af anid ani adir lechem esanistoris. V'yesh oimrim lama nakut elokachom Ezra. Ezra said, "If yovo eliyon." The whole question is it hidden? Is it not hidden? Is it nistoris or is it niglois? So Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "By me it's hidden, and you're going to reveal it." So, kachom ezer, em yovoi el yov, yoima loma kesafta oison, oima loi kvanu kanati alem. Em yoima li yofa kesafta, kva imchog di kudusayim alem. In other words, I'll put the dots, and then I can, either way, Eliyahu Navi can say, why did you reveal what you're not supposed to reveal? I guess it was something you can learn from the dots. She says, either, if he says I shouldn't have revealed it, I'll just erase the dots. And if he says, you should have revealed it, I'll say, look, I wrote the dots, and others I revealed what these words really mean. In other words, the Anshe, this is Ezra. Ezra is Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. He didn't want to put the dots on the words in the Chumash. Not only that, the trup that we have, the Nigunim, the Piske, Tame, Mapach, Pashto, also come from the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. So everything we have, basically, is at least from the Anshe Knesset. I mean, everything's from beforehand also. But the Kriyuk Siv, all these things, the different versions, or the dots, or the Nigunim, that Lechur is from the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah from that time, and we have that Adi Yemzeh until today. Okay, one more thing which I want to discuss is the fact that the way the Torah was written. Now, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Ksav that we have, which is called Ksav Ashuris, the way we write our Aleph Beis, is not the way they wrote the Torah throughout the ages. The Torah originally was given in Ksav Ashuris, but in the time of Bais Rishon, or almost immediately, I think, they switched to Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri, which means it was a different type of Ksav, a Ksav which came from that area, was like a Phoenician alphabet, and that's what most Jews were writing anyway. That was the common way of writing, and they wrote the Torahs in that Ksav. They were able to write them. Why they were able to permit it to do it? They were permitted. They were able to go back and forth. The Torah which was inside the Mikdash, inside the Beis HaMikdash, was a Torah which was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah inside the Beis HaMikdash was always written in Ksav Ashuris, and people always knew Ksav Ashuris. But the regular Torah scrolls that they had, and the Tefillin and the Mezuzahs, was all written in Ksav Ivri, which was a different type of Ksav. Now, at the time, at the end of the Bais Rishon, people started forgetting how to read Ksav Ashuris. Since everything was written in Ksav Ivri, they could not decipher Ksav Ashuris. That's why the story says in Tanakh that when Yeshua HaMelech finds the Sefer Torah, he couldn't read it. Why? Because it was written Ksav Ashuris. People by that time had forgotten how to read Ksav Ashuris, the Ksav that we have today. Not only that, when Daniel is in the Belshazzar's palace, and there's a hand on the wall, with the writing on the wall, and it says, Menom, Menot, Takelu, Farsin, nobody's able to read it. Why? Because it was Ksav Ashuris. It was a different type of font, a different type of script. Nobody's able to read it. If you want to see the difference between the two scripts, so this over here, I think we should leave this for next time anyway, but you should see over here on the second sheet I have over here, 19a, so you see, on top is Ksav Ashuris, the Ksav that we have, and all these funny letters are the Ksav Ivri, is that other Ksav that was, the Torah was written throughout the ages in that other Ksav. Completely different. If you see over there, Tzuras Ksav Ivri, by Madbea Shemotza Rambamzal, there's a famous story that Ramban writes, that when he came to Israel, some old people showed him some shekel, shkalim, and he couldn't read it because it was a funny type of ksav. He couldn't read it. He couldn't read what these words meant. It looked Jewish because it had a palm date, right, a palm tree, and it had a kiar. It looked like it was from the Beis HaMikdash. It looked like a shekel, but he couldn't decipher the words until he showed it to the Samaritans. The Samaritans, and they said, no problem, it's a Shekel Yisrael. They were able to read it. Why? Because they still had that old Ksav. And all the Jews had the Ksav. And all the Samaritans had the Ksav. Just when Ezra came back from Babel, said he wanted to, you know, give the Jews a spiritual uplifting. Now we're going to go back to the old Ksav, which was the Torah was given in that old Ksav, Ksav Ashuris, and the way Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah. And we're better than that, and we're going to all start learning Torah. They wanted to uplift their spirits. They went back to Ksav Ashuris, and therefore, by the time the Ramban had the coins, nobody knew, of course, to read Ksav Ivri besides the Samaritans. They never changed. They were continued with the Ksav, which was in use for Bais Rishon the entire 400 years. And therefore, that's the difference between Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Ivri. If you want, you can decipher it. It's fascinating. Take it home, and you can actually look at it. But all this, by the way, is a Gemara. Look at number 6. In the beginning, the Torah was written in Ksav Ivri, Lashon HaKodesh, meaning it was written in Hebrew. The language was Lashon HaKodesh, but the Ksav was Ksav Ivri, meaning the Jews wrote it, the Sefer Torah, in Ksav Ivri. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Ksav Ashuris, and he himself wrote in Ksav Ashuris, but all the Jews, from that time on, they wrote all their Sefer Torah and the Tefillin Mezuzahs, all throughout Bais Rishon, all in Ksav Ivri, this other Ksav, the Ivri means Eva Hanar, was the colloquial type of script that they used. Chazra v'nitna lehem b'mei Ezra b'Ksav Ashuris v'loshan Arami. And then in time of Ezra, they said, okay, let's write the Torah in Ksav Ashuris and in a different language, not Breishis Bara, but in Aramaic. Biru lehem l'Yisrael, Ksav Ashuris v'loshan Kodesh. Said, no, we're going to go with Lashon HaKodesh, and we're going to do Ksav Ashuris. That is the original way, the way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'nichu lehedyoites, Ksav Ivri v'loshan Arami. And they left for the hedyoites, the simple folk, they left them this different Ksav Ivri and the Aramaic language. Manad Yaitas, Omar Afrizda, Kutai. Not the Kutim. The Samaritans, they're the ones who use Ksav Ivris. And till today, their Sefer Torah that they have is written in Ksav Ivri. I think the Qumran scrolls is also written in Ksav Ivri. And by them, many things are written in Aramaic. I think the Torah that they have is written in Aramaic anyway. But us, we have Ksav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh. Moshe says, my Ksav Ivris, Amar Rav Chisda, Ksav Livnuna, or Ksav Livuna, which is this Phoenician alphabet. Look in Rashi. B'Ksav Zen Nitna Torah Yisrael B'Yimei Moshe. In other words, at first it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Ksav Ashuris, but then it didn't stick. Even Shechotu B'Vayis Rishon U'Bozes HaTorah Nepech Lem L'Royetz Sheshachu. And they forgot the entire Ksav Ashuris, and that's why throughout the end of Bayis Sheni, of Bayis Rishon, and in Daniel, they never were able to recognize the entire Ksav Ashuris, because everything was in Ksav Ivri. Of course, once they started with a new script, so they needed to have people write all the Sefer Torah from now on in this special script in Ksav Ashuris. So not only Ezra was called a Sofer Mahir, he was considered a Sofer, and he wrote many of the Sefer Torahs himself, but the Anshei Knesset Gedolah employed a whole bunch of people, Soferim, that they should be writing all the Sefer Torahs and all the Tefillin, all the Mezuzahs at that time. Look at number 7 on the sheet, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Eschim v'alba taniyos, Yoshua Anshei Knesset Gedolah. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah sat 24 taneisim, al koishve svorim Tefillin and Mezuzahs, shelo yisashu. That the people who are koishve stam, Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, they will always remain poor. You wonder why the Seferim never have money? It's because Anshei Knesset Gedolah daven that they should not have money. Why? Shilmalei misasrin ein kosvin. Once they have the cash, they're not going to write anymore. It's tedious work. And therefore, instead of you remain poor, we're going to guarantee you, you're going to remain poor, you'll always need more panasa, and you always constantly write Sefer Torah and Mezuzahs and Tefillin, and that's why they did it. Why did they do it? Because precisely at that time, they had to change all the Sefer Torah. Everything had to change from this funny, what we call now funny, but in those times, it was a normal Ksav Ivri, and changed everything back to the original Ksav, which is Ksav Ashuris, which we have Adai Yemezeh. Okay, next week we'll continue about the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, which is the most important part. They did a few important things. Number one, they raised the entire level of learning, and of course, all the Takanas and Tefillah, and everything that they instituted. Okay.